Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is episode F195. 195. There's some fun words in this episode. Oh yeah, we're going to have a blast. The first word in this episode is furchet. Furchet? This is spelled F-O-U-R-C-H-E-E. And the first E has the acute accent. Bloop. This is an adjective from 1706, and it is talking about a heraldic cross. So it is, a furchet is having the end of each arm forked. And it says to see the cross illustration, which I have brought up ahead of time. Here we go. Let's look at this. The furchet. Here we go. Number 17 is the furchet, and it is basically an equal cross where the vertical and the horizontal are the same size, and they meet right in the center, and I have something in my eye. But then the ends of each of the crosses, they just split. They just split a little bit into a cross. It looks like they go off in 45-degree angles. Burp, just like that. Just a little short little fork. It's a furchet. Why is this furchet? It's Latin. No. I don't know why I said that. It's French. It literally means forked. So furchet are forks in French called fourchets. I don't know. But it is forked, and that's all it is. Okay, moving on to, oh, my sound effect. I'm going to go, hi-yah! Now we have four-dimensional. Woo! This is two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1880, relating to or having four dimensions, especially consisting of or relating to elements requiring four coordinates to determine them. There is an example after the first part, four-dimensional space-time continuum. And if you don't know, the fourth dimension is time. We are constantly interacting with the fourth dimension of time, but we can't control it, or we can't control our interaction with it unless you are getting in a spaceship and going super fast. Then your experience of time is different than people who are not on the spaceship. The faster you go, the closer to the speed of light you get, the slower your time goes, which is crazy to think about. Three dimensions. We're in this three-dimensional thing. There's a sphere, a cube, a whatever. It's three dimensions. But then the fourth dimension is time. We are going through time. Something is always happening at a certain place and time. I am recording this in the Chicago area on Earth. In our solar system, does our solar system have a name? In the Milky Way galaxy, in some part of the universe, on May 23rd, 2025, numbers that mean nothing, at 7 a.m. Central Time, American Central Time. The thing about our space, though, is that we feel like we're pretty solid, but the Earth is spinning around its axis. The Earth is also spinning around the sun. The sun is moving through space. The whole solar system is moving through space. It's also spinning in the galaxy. The galaxy is moving through space. We're constantly moving. The space I was in literally a fraction of a second ago is completely different to the space I am in right now. Space and time, it hurts the brain. I remember when I was maybe in sixth grade. I don't know why I was thinking about this, but that was when I thought, I think the fourth dimension is time. It was my own thought. I had never heard anybody talk about this before, because this would have been 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago, maybe. And I had never heard anybody talk about the fourth dimension as being time. So I think I invented that. What would the fifth dimension be, though? We are such three-dimensional creatures that are only a little bit four-dimensional in that context of being able to understand it and control it, that we have no concept of what a fifth dimension would be. Something that's requiring four coordinates to determine them. Three coordinates and the fourth coordinate of time. When is this thing happening? Okay, we gotta move on, otherwise I'll get all down a wormhole. Ooh, wormholes. Yeah. Now we have Fordrinier, or Fordrinier. Fordrinier? Or yeah, okay. It is spelled Fordrinier. Fordrinier. I guess that's how I'll say it. This is a noun often capitalized from 1839. It is a machine for making paper in an endless web. What? Wait a minute. Why are we talking paper into a web? A web of what exactly? This is fascinating. Fordrinier machine. By the way, it is named after Henry and Seeley Fordrinier. I think it was Henry Fordrinier was his name. Seeley, S-E-A-L-Y. I don't know if that's another person. It's a device used in papermaking to produce a continuous sheet of paper, paperboard, and other fiberboards. It works by spreading a mixture of pulp and water onto a moving, endless belt of wire or plastic screen where excess water drains off, forming a continuous sheet. The sheet then undergoes further drying by suction, pressure, and heat, and is finally smoothed and finished by rollers. And I assume that they're going to cut it at some point. So maybe they're making big old wheels of paper, I guess. It looks like it's the modern paper making machine, the Fordrinier machine from 1799. Is that right? Where's this person's? Here we go. The brothers. Through a chain of acquaintances, Gamble was introduced to the brothers Seeley and Henry Fordrinier, stationers of London, who agreed to finance the project. And it became the Fordrinier. They're like, we're giving you money, so we get to name it. That's how a lot of stuff happens. Yeah. Next is four-eyed. I'm four-eyed. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1926. It means wearing glasses. It's a derogatory term, typically, when somebody is calling somebody else four-eyed. They're like, look at you, four-eyed nerd over there. And I'm like, yep, I got four eyes. I can see better with four eyes than you can with two. I got two eyes here and two eyes here. Woo, woo, woo. Four-eyed. Yeah. Now we have 4F, which is the numeral 4 hyphen capital F. Noun from 1942. This is classification as unfit for military service. I would definitely be 4F. Also, a person having this classification. just put a big old 4F stamp on my 5 head, and then and I can see it with my 4 eyes. Yeah. Next is 4 flush. This is interesting. It's 2 words with a hyphen. Verb, intransitive verb from 1896. It means to bluff in poker, holding a 4 flush. But broadly, to make a false claim, and the synonym is bluff. 4 flusher is a noun. So a 4 flush would be you don't have a full flush. A full flush in most card games would be 5 cards of the same suit, right? Yes. And so if you got 4 of them, but your this seems, I don't understand why this specific type of hand of having 4 cards in a flush. Do people know? Do they know that you have almost a flush? And so you're like, you know, I almost got it. I might as well have it. So I'm going to bluff. I'm going to say, I'm going to lie. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to be like, yeah, I got, it's not cheating. It's lying. Yeah, I definitely got a 5 flush, but you only got a 4 flush. And so they said, oh, you did a 4 flush on me. You bluffed me good. Hmm. And then it just became bluffing. It just a false claim. What's a false claim? My name's Fred. That's a 4 flush. Hee-ah! Now we got 4 flush again. No hyphen this time. Noun from 1887. It's a noun. It is 4 cards of the same suit in a 5-card poker hand. But do we have a term for 4 straight? Let's see. Let's look ahead. Do we have 4 straight? There's a lot of 4 words. No, I don't see 4 straight. Why aren't there terms for these other non-poker hands? Why is 4 flush so special? Yeah! Fourfold. 1 word. Adjective from before the 12th century. Number 1. Being 4 times as great or as many. But we're not going to have all of the different types of folds. 2-fold, 3-fold, 4-fold, 5-fold, 6-fold, 7-fold, 8-fold, 9-fold, 10-fold. Are we going to have all of those in the dictionary? I hope not. Number 2. Having 4 units or members. 4 things. The tables. It's a 4-fold table because it's got 4 legs. 4-fold is also an adverb. You can do something 4-fold, do something in a way that you're doing it 4 times as many. I've got 4-fold arms and legs because you don't have any. I'm doing stuff 4-fold. Okay. This is from 4 plus fold. I mean, that's pretty much it. Really, really obvious etymology. Yeah, I just don't understand why this is in here. Like 45, okay, there's specific things that we call 45. So, okay, you're going to put a very specific number in the dictionary. But 4-fold, I mean, 5-fold could have 5 units or members. 38-fold could have 38 units or members, or do something 38 times as great or as many. What's the specific reason to have 4-fold in here? I don't get it. Okay. Hiya! Next is 4-footed. 2 words with a hyphen. Adjective from the 14th century. Having 4 feet, and the synonym is quadruped. Quad, 4, ped, foot. 4-foot. What's the R-U in the middle of that? Quadruped. It's short for RuPaul. Does RuPaul have 4 feet? RuPaul has 2 feet, 2 hands. Unless they're walking on all fours, then they got 4 feet. RuPaul is a quadruped. 4-footed, yep. I mean, most animals are 4-footed. Most animals are walking on 4 feet. Even the chimps, who often walk on 2 feet, what's funny about them is because they have 4 feet when they're walking a lot of times, but they really have 4 hands because their feet are hands, which I want. I want hands on my feet. Okay, four-footed, I'm two-footed. It's very sad. I'm only two-footed. Hi-yah! 4H is next. Numeral 4 hyphen capital H. Would this be even worse than 4F in the military world? Nope. It's something different. It's pretty long, too. Adjective from 1926. Of or relating to a program set up by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, originally in rural areas, to help young people become productive citizens by instructing them in useful skills. But where's the parentheses end? It goes all the way... Literally, where does the parentheses end? There it is. Useful skills, community service, and personal development. Those are the things that the young people are being trained in the 4-H Club. Examples of these useful skills are agriculture, animal husbandry, and carpentry. So the things that these young people are being taught are how to farm, that would be agriculture. Animal husbandry is taking care of animals, probably the rural farm animals, cows and pigs and horses, goats and chickens and turkeys. Carpentry, building stuff, useful skills. Also, community service. Don't be selfish. Help your community. Help the people. If you can, help the people around you. Personal development, but also take care of yourself. Be healthy mentally and physically. These are all fantastic things to learn to know about. Eventually, we will probably need to know more about agriculture when we get into the apocalypse, future situations, and so we'll need to know how to grow food. And so people who went through the 4-H are going to be much more well-prepared, I think, than people like me who did not do this. Knowing how to build things and grow things, good skills. We did not have the 4-H in my situation, my town, because, as far as I know at least, because we are not rural, we didn't have farms and animals. 4-H'er is a noun which is spelled 4-H'er, or no apostrophe. And this is from the fourfold aim of improving the head, heart, hands, and health. Those are the 4-H's. So if you ask somebody who went through, if you ask a 4-H'er, what do they stand for? What are the 4-H's? Then they will hopefully tell you head, heart, hands, health. Not hard to forget, I think. Your head, that would be personal development. Health would be personal development. Your heart of helping other people, probably. Also taking care of your heart. And hands, using your hands. Using your hands to build things, take care of things, grow things. Milk the cows, which I don't care for. Okay, 4-H. If you ever went through 4-H, if that was a thing, a part of your life, you can call me up, leave a voicemail, send me an email. I would like to know a little bit about your personal experience. I've only spoken to a couple of people in my life who were part of 4-H because they grew up in these rural areas. Seems like a pretty good thing for young people to go through in general. All right, next. Hi-ya! Forehand. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from circa 1909. The synonym is forehanded, which is our next word. Hi-ya! Forehanded. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from circa 1770. Number one. Engaged in by four persons, as in a four-handed card game. There are four people playing. Really, technically, it should be eight-handed, because most likely each person has two hands and two feet, but they're not using their feet to play the games, unless they're chimps. So it should be eight-handed, but it's only four-handed because it's four people. Okay, fine. I'll let this one slide. My family at Christmas time like to have multiplayer solitaire. I know I've mentioned this before. And so sometimes there's like seven-handed solitaire, which is an oxymoron because solitaire is meant to be a single-person game. But when you have multiple people, you can all, you know, you put the aces up and stuff and you make those piles and everybody can play on everybody's. And so it gets really, really intense. Four-handed, that ain't nothing for what they have lots of people play. I only play sometimes. Number two, designed for four hands, as in a four-handed piano piece. But I don't have four hands. I only have two hands. How am I supposed to play this four-handed piano piece? Well, I gotta get a buddy. Come on, buddy. Play this piano piece with me. Let's play this piano piece with our four hands. Let's try it with our feet. Now, maybe a chimp who knows how to play the piano can play with their four hands. Hey-ya! Four Horsemen is next. Two words, the first letters are capitalized. Noun from 1918. War, famine, pestilence, is it pestilence, and death, personified as the four major plagues of humankind. Are these the four worst things that we do? Fight people, not have enough to eat, maybe by, there's literally this is happening in Gaza as I'm recording this. They're basically at famine level in Gaza. Shouldn't have to get to that level. Pestilence. This is the one that I don't know if I fully understand. Is it literally about pests? Or what is this one about? Pestilence. Here we go. A fatal epidemic disease, especially the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague? Widespread, contagious, deadly epidemic disease. Okay, yeah, so disease. That's basically what it is. What else? What else? What else? What's the last one? The last one is, of course, death. These are just the four crappy things that happen to life. And they are the four horsemen. Because, yeah, they're personified as four things, four beings, dudes, riders on horses. They are from the apocalyptic vision in the Bible, Revelation 6:2-8. And I don't know that specific story, but they were like, hey, there are these four horsemen coming. And what was that phrase? And the man who sat on him was death. Something about the pale horse. I don't know. I've heard it in multiple places. We just saw a movie. What movie was it? Not just. It was maybe last year. There was something about the death pale horseman was coming through town, and it was probably some ridiculous horror movie. Yeah, I remember it being fun and silly. I can't remember which one it was at the moment, though. But yeah, you know, these four horsemen have been used in a lot of different ways in different things in popular culture and such. Weird Al. One of his albums had, I think, the Four Horsemen on it. Let's look up Weird, not O. Where's the I? Weird Al albums, which you might as well just say Weird Albums. Well, yes, of course. The album was called Alpocalypse. And I want to see this picture big. Here we go. He is one of the four horsemen. Well, the one on the right looks like it's death. He is second from the right. Then there's two on the left, and one of them looks like a ogre-y kind of guy with a crossbow. And then the one in the middle, second from the left, looks like a guy in a in a knight of shining armor with a sword. So both of those could be war. I don't know which one he's supposed to be. I guess that would be a question for the ages. Should we look up, just because we're here, which horseman is Weird Al? That's a not a weird question at all. Oh, it's bringing up the show BoJack Horseman because he plays a character, Captain Peanut Butter. Anyway, we're not going to find this. Oh, maybe we go to the Wikipedia page for Alpocalypse. Will we get to find anything? The name of the notable... it was chosen parody recent public fears of the apocalypse with the End Times 2012. I figured that I might as well do my apocalypse-themed album before the actual apocalypse because I really don't think people are going to be buying CDs at the end of the world, he said. The title is tied to the album's cover art, a parody image depicting a happily waving Yankovic as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He rides the black horse, generally understood as famine, which Yankovic attributed to all the songs I had written about food in the 80s. Okay, fantastic. I knew that there would have been something specific. It was done on purpose. Okay, Weird Al, you're the best. Still don't know what those other two are, though. Moving on from the Four Horsemen, we are now going to go, hi-ya! That is, he would have said, hi-ya! To his horse. Next is 400, spelled either with the words, two words, with a capital, first letters, or with the numerals 400. This is a noun from 1888. It is the exclusive social set of a community. It is used with the word the 400, the 400. But I don't understand what this is. The exclusive social set of a community, is this like the elite, the people who are running the community are the 400? Okay, I may need to put a link in the show notes for this, the 400. I think I might as well also put in a link for the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I much prefer the Four Horsemen of the Alpocalypse, but I guess we'll have to deal with the regular ones. Hi-ya! Next is Fourier. Yes, Fourier analysis. Two words. Fourier is capital F-O-U-R-I-E-R. Fourier. Noun from circa 1928. This is the process of using the terms of a Fourier series to find a function that approximates periodic data. That looks like data that is happening periodically, regularly, I guess. And I gotta say, the rest of the words in this episode seem related to this somehow, and I am not gonna fully understand it. So we're just going to chug through. But I can say that this is from Baron J.B.J. Fourier, who was a French geometrician and physicist. So they were doing geometry and physicisting. And they died in 1830. So they invented this process, this using the Fourier series. And what are the rest of these things? Hiya! Fourierism, or maybe it would be Fourierism, or Fourierism, various ways you can say that. It is a noun from 1843, and this is actually about a different Fourier. So what's this? A system for reorganizing society into cooperative communities of small, self-sustaining groups. Well, this seems a way, like a way to deal with community. Is this on par with capitalism, socialism, communism, liberare? What's the one? Librarians? Libertarianism? So would this be another one, Fourierism? that not a lot of people know about, but this one is from F.M.C. Fourier, who had this idea of like, you know what? I think it's probably best if we just have small little communities and they're self-sustaining. They have everything that they need in their little community. Maybe they have a 4-H club where they got farms. They're growing their food. They got some animals if they want stuff from animals. And, you know, they got all the stuff that they need there. They got a doctor. They got police and fire, a dentist, an obstetrician, etc., etc. There's some logic to this, I think. Living in small communities, I see it. I get it, okay? I don't know if this is how we should be all the way around the world, but sometimes it's like we're a little bit too much. We're a little bit too expanded, spread thin stuff. But I want to go see other parts of the world. I don't know if I can sit still so long. All right, that's Fourierism, unrelated to a Fourier series, which is, yeah, Fourier series, noun, from 1877. Now, but he died in 1830. He or she, I don't know who they were. This is an infinite series in which the terms are constants multiplied by sine or cosine functions of integer multiples of the variable, and which is used in the analysis of periodic functions. And we're just gonna leave that there. If this seems interesting to you, maybe I should put a link in the show notes for this Fourier analysis series, etc. We got two more. Hi-ya! Fourier's or Fourier's theorem, noun from 1834. A theorem in mathematics. Under suitable conditions, any periodic function can be represented by a Fourier series. Wow. And finally, hi-ya! Fourier transform, two words, noun from 1923. This is another long one. Any of various functions. Any serious functions. Where is the end of the... Oh, I see. F, parentheses U, lowercase u. That is a function, and it says FU, which I think is funny. So that is an example of a function. Any of various functions that under suitable conditions can be obtained from given functions by multiplying by E... superscript iux and integrating over all values of x, and that in scientific instrumentation describe the dependence of the average of a series of measurements on a quantity of interest, especially of a very small magnitude. It is called also Fourier transformation. This hurt my brain. There's a couple of parentheses sections. An example of another function would be fx. The x is in parentheses. And then when the series of measurements, an example of that could be a spectrum. And an example of the quantity of interest would be brightness. So I kind of just want to read it again with those, if you really are loving this. Any of various functions as fu that under suitable conditions can be obtained from given functions as fx by multiplying by e iux and integrating over all values of x, and that in scientific instrumentation describe the dependence of the average of a series of measurements as of a spectrum on a quantity of interest as brightness, especially of a very small magnitude. Still don't understand it, does not help me at all in my life. I don't need this. But maybe you do. So check the show notes. All right. Now I shall pick a word of the episode. We had some good ones. I loved this episode because we had such a wide variety of different topics, different things, all starting with the word for, kind of. And we got for. The word for is going to go all of the next episode and most of the episode after that. So, we had today fourché. That's the anything that's forked at the end. Four-dimensional. Fourdrinier. That's the paper-making machine. Four-eyed. Four-F. Four-flush. Four-flush. Four-fold. Four-footed. Four-H. Four-hand. Four-handed. Four-horseman. 400. Fourier analysis. Fourierism. Fourier series. Fourier's theorem. Fourier transform. Okay. What are we going to pick? I think I'm going to pick either the four horsemen or the four dimensional, and I am going to say that the four horsemen are four dimensional. They go through time. They live through time. They're time travelers. The four horsemen are time travelers. I want to see a cartoon now, some silly show, where it's about the four horsemen and they're traveling through time, messing stuff up, providing war, famine, pestilence, and death. Is this a concept, a good concept? Can we flesh this out, please, and somehow thank you very much? But which one am I actually picking? I think I have to pick four-dimensional as the actual word of the episode. And then, of course, four horsemen would be the runner-up. Some of you, if you are, I don't know, very religious, maybe you really don't like the idea of me talking about the four horsemen. You're like, no, those are bad. Those are evil. But you know what? It's just a story. War and famine and pestilence and death are not just stories. Those are real things. But they're not literally coming on horse people. Horsemen. That is going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. Watch it on YouTube. Write a review. Email me. Send me a voicemail. Join the Patreon for only $1 a month because you will get very early episodes. And you can buy some merchandise. And you can check out the old episodes. And you can check out the new episodes. And you can check out the future episodes when you get into the future and you learn how to control the four dimensions of time. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye. What?